Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation, in Colorado, around the world. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and sometimes known as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney, a mere pew warmer at Denver Bible Church, and I haven't worn my pew in several weeks. I've been out of town. So glad that Bob called me at the last minute, needing someone to cover him for the show. Bob is, where is he? He's at an undisclosed location. I saw the bat signal late morning. Bob has been called to, well, to comment at a forum on whether or not boys should be allowed to marry boys and whatnot. And I think it's safe to assume that Bob's again it. He's again it. He ain't fur it. I know that. And he may call in with a live report from a supposedly important discussion on whether or not boys should be married to boys. I mean, is that what we've come to? Is that an important... You know, I'm a little depressed. I'm going to admit it right off the top. If you can help me get undepressed, give me a call. I've got a question of the day that I want to open with. It's a two-part question. So get your phone ready if you want to be on the air. We might just take your call. Maybe, maybe not. You'll be screened thoroughly by our call screener. But the question is, will our Heavenly Father curse the Denver Broncos? Second part, how do you think our Heavenly Father will curse the Denver Broncos? I've had a rough 2 weeks, folks. I've been out in California where, number one, it rained almost the whole time. So that's the first thing. I've been out in California where I could not help having the feeling that all is lost. I mean, there's a line in the Bible about the end times. I think it's in Revelation where God says that he will send them strong delusion. And I felt that all around me in California. That place is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Surely all is lost. Anyway, I don't mean to depress you people. Will our Heavenly Father curse the Denver Broncos, and how indeed should they be cursed? Now, I have a curse that I've been working up that I plan to do on the air. I'm not going to do it here on Bob's show because Bob might not support the cursing of the Denver Broncos, but I have a curse that I'm working on that I'll do it on my show on Sunday night on the internet, theweeklyworldview.com, or go to iTunes and just search for Doug McBurney. That's me, Doug McBurney, sitting in today for Bob Enyart, who's been kind enough to allow me to grace the microphones here while he is off discussing whether or not boys should marry boys with people who are confused and definitely need to hear from Bob Enyart. So I guess it's important. But anyway, strong delusion has struck in California. I can tell you that. I've had a rough 2 weeks. As the past 2 weeks have passed, as I've been out there on the road. By the way, I want to just let you folks know that if you're into traveling by car, I just want to let you know that the Toyota Sequoia sleeps a family of 5 comfortably if your children are small. Our children are small. And so we actually camped out 2 nights alongside rivers in Nevada and Utah. And my little girls, who are city kids, they, for the first time in their lives, they had an opportunity to actually see the stars. And it was incredible. We had 2 clear nights out there along the banks of the river in our small apartment on wheels, the Toyota Sequoia, fine vehicle for camping out with the family. And they got to see the stars. It was really awesome. We couldn't help but sit there and say, Very well done, Lord. Truly well done. It was amazing. But it was a rough 2 weeks. I began feeling that the inevitability of Mitt Romney, well, it's beginning to sink in, folks. I've been in denial for a long time, and it is beginning to sink in that Mitt Romney indeed will be the nominee of the hapless Republican Party, and Barack Hussein Obama can look forward to another 4 years in the White House and on Air Force One. Do you disagree with me? Well, don't call, because I don't care if you disagree with me. I'm upset about it, and I'd rather not discuss it. In fact, let's change the topic. You know what else? You know what else depressed me? Was the fact that there was a terrorist attack on a Jewish school in France, and it was scrubbed from the media in favor of a racially sensational killing down in Florida, and the Sharpton Jackson axis was all over the TV. It was enough to make you sick. Meanwhile, an Islamic terrorist goes on a killing spree in France. And have you heard a peep about it? It's just depressing. Strong delusion is what I'm thinking. Or maybe this is the precursor to the strong delusion that's mentioned in Revelation. And if that's the case, boy, that strong delusion that's coming down in Revelation, that must be really strong. We noticed the strong delusion, or we took note of it, as we were watching the local news in Southern California. The guy involved in the killing down there in Florida, what's his name? Zimmerman? I have a story here somewhere. Bear with me for a second, folks. I'm a little rusty. I've been on the road. I'm car lagged. My clock is all messed up. I don't have the story here. You know why? Because I just don't care that much about it. Michael Zimmerman, was it? Anyway, the local news reporters there and a San Diego NBC affiliate called him a white-skinned Hispanic. That's what they called him. As if that phrase is popularly accepted and common in Southern California. Anyway, that bothered us. At first, we thought it was a local story. We thought someone had been shot there in San Diego. And by the way, while we were there in San Diego, there were people butchered, murdered, stabbed, shot, raped, killed, and kidnapped every single day. Just like here in Denver, by the way. As the epidemic of violent crime continues to engulf the nation, and people are deluded into thinking we're free. It's depressing. All right, I said I was depressed at the top. You know what? You know what helped me a little bit? Was coming in here to the studio and seeing my brother Russ and my other brother Daryl. And that helped me cheer me up a little bit. But I'll admit that I'm a bit depressed over the way things are going. 2 million Arabs, Muslims, are getting ready to march on Jerusalem this Friday. Have you heard about this? Yeah, they say it's a peaceful march. Maybe I've got that story. Should I start with that story? No, I want to start with a Tim Tebow story. No, I'll save Tim Tebow till the end because that's good for ratings. I got a Tim Tebow story, as I'm often wont to do, but I'll save that for the end. Here's the story that you haven't heard much about because of the strong delusion in the media and the government. 2 million Arab international protesters will march toward the borders of Israel this Friday. This is from the Times of Israel, because you're not going to get this in the Times of New York or the Times of LA or the Post of Denver. That's from the Times of Israel. 2 million Muslims are going to march toward the borders of Israel this coming Friday. Rabhi Halum, he's the general coordinator of what he has dubbed the Global March to Jerusalem. And he's emphasizing the peaceful nature of the march. They've got a Facebook page up, and you can sign up and talk about your plans and what you're going to put in your picnic basket as you march toward the borders of Israel with allegedly 2 million other angry Muslims. Going to be a peaceful event. One of the Facebook posts was by Mohammed Malkawi, who's an Arab Muslim there who's planning to march on Jerusalem. He didn't mention anything about what he was going to put in his picnic basket. But what he did say was, "What will we do after the march to Jerusalem? We will liberate it." That sounds peaceful. That sounds fine. Not really a big deal. Nothing you need to hear about on the news, certainly. What we need to know is whether or not racial tension in America can be ratcheted up any further by the president and his minions in the Sharpton-Jackson-Obama axis. Around which the news media apparently rotates these days. Very depressing. Very depressing. What else? Let's see. According to the event, let's get back to this march on Jerusalem. And let's leave my depression aside for just a few minutes. Could we? Let's just leave that aside. According to the, the Global March to Jerusalem, according to the event's Facebook page, Syrian Palestinians will organize activities, quote, in accordance with the domestic situation there in Syria. Obviously, there is a situation there in Syria that could prevent the picnicking on the borders of Israel of a number of Syrians. I find it interesting that the Syrian people are willing to take time out from being butchered by their Muslim dictator to go and protest the freest nation in the region. In their march on Jerusalem. It just strikes me as a bit ironic. The Times of Israel reports, by the way, that Israel is preparing the Israeli Defense Force for possible confrontations with protesters attempting to cross the border. As usual, the Jews want to instigate some kind of fight with these peaceful picnicking Muslims who just want to picnic on their border. They might even fly kites. Anyway. What else got me down? I wrote notes about my own depression. I'm in self-analysis. Probably the thing that got me down the worst, I mean, the added insult to injury on top of these other issues, the strong delusion in California, the refusal of the media to cover the news that actually matters in favor of whipping the masses into a frenzy. The ignorant, unwashed masses. By the way, I want to correct something I said the last time I was on the air. I want to apologize to stupid people in the audience because I said words to the effect of the majority of the people in this country are too stupid to be involved in governance. And I shouldn't have said that because that's overstating the case. The majority of the people in this country are not qualified to participate in governance. So I apologize if I offended any of the stupid in the audience. And I know we have a few, although this is the brightest audience in the nation. I mean, if you just run the numbers, you got to figure there's a few stupid people in the audience. And I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, because just because you're stupid doesn't necessarily mean you're unqualified to govern. It's if you don't know right from wrong and prefer to avoid pointing out right and wrong, then you're not qualified. And that's the majority of people. And in Southern California, it's the vast majority. I mean, that place is just unbelievable. Now, we were walking along the beach on one of the few sunny days that the Lord graced us with out in San Diego. And there's a man laying on the sidewalk, convulsing and coughing up blood. And a crowd of young people has gathered around him. And I walked over there and I said, what's going on? And all these young thug-looking punks, they just all look at me like I'm going to arrest one of them. And I said, has anyone called 911? And they looked at each other like they were all stoned. And so I whipped out my phone. I'm getting ready to call 911. This guy's spitting up blood on the pavement. And I happened to look over and notice the lifeguard shack. So I signaled to a lifeguard, hey, we've got an injured guy here. Come and help him out. And the 20 or so teenage punks, they all kind of faded back and drifted. And the lifeguards came over. And I don't know if the guy's dead or alive. But it was just bizarre. I mean, I'm no humanitarian. And I'm no good Samaritan. But, I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's coughing up blood. I mean, he could be in trouble, right? Wouldn't you assume that there might be a problem? Anyway, my wife's theory is that all those little punks were up to no good, you see. They probably all had a certain amount of medical marijuana on them or a warrant out for this or that. And and they just preferred not to participate. So we had a sit-down talk with our 10-year-old daughter, and we told her, Nicole, if you're ever with friends and your friends are doing something bad or you're doing something bad and something happens and someone's actually hurt and their life is in danger, you simply cannot hide because you're up to no good. You have to accept responsibility, do the right thing, help the person, even if it means you're going to get in trouble. And she didn't even comprehend that we would have that concern, which was a blessing. I guess I shouldn't be so depressed. But let me get back to my depression, because I want to focus on that, because doing this show today is a big part of my rehabilitation from a state of depression to a state of, well, hopefully to a state of relative contentment. But to add insult to injury over this past 2 weeks, I watched as the Denver Broncos committed perhaps the biggest blunder in sports since the Red Sox traded Babe Ruth. You all remember that, right? Well, of course, none of you actually remember it because it was before any of us were born. But we all remember the curse of the Bambino that lasted. Ask my other brother, Daryl, how long did the curse of the Bambino last? And Daryl will probably be able to give us an exact number. But it was decades after decade after decade after decade that the Red Sox foundered and pathetic until they finally, I think they finally took enough steroids and paid enough bribes to win a championship a few years ago. But we remember the curse of the Bambino, right? So the question of the day that nobody seems to care about. Nobody seems to care about me. See, that this is why I'm depressed, Russ. I mean, I sit here, I'm doing my best. I ask the big question of the day. Should our Heavenly Father curse the Denver Broncos? And if so, exactly how should he do it? Anyway, so I'm working on it. Frogs? I just got the high sign from Daryl. Oh, frogs should rain upon Denver. That's your... Okay, frogs. All right, well, I'm working up my curse, and I'm going to read it on the Weekly Worldview this Sunday. Go on the internet, go to theweeklyworldview.com, go to iTunes, search Doug McBurney, and you will hear me pronounce my curse upon the Denver Broncos for breaking my heart and trading Tim Tebow to the hapless New York Jets. All right, so we've done the march on Jerusalem. So don't say that we're not keeping you informed here. I mean, I have mentioned the Sanford, Florida killing of the teenager, the young man there that was killed by the white-skinned Hispanic. I couldn't believe it when I heard that. Anyway, but let's move on, because there is some good news. I shouldn't be so depressed. I've got my personhood petition. I'm going to be hitting the streets here in the next few days. And I'm probably going to hit... I'm wondering if this movie is going to open here in Denver. There's a new movie called October Baby. Have we heard about this? Has Bob mentioned this on the air? How much has he mentioned it? He's mentioned it a lot? Well, that wouldn't surprise me. I was unable to listen because I was working all the time, or I was walking in the rain, or I was... Well, walking in the rain and trying to help the guy coughing up blood. I was busy, okay? Trust me. Anyway, this movie has me motivated. It opened in 390 theaters, October Baby, and it's brought in almost $2 million in ticket sales. And the director, he says he's thrilled and blown away. The movie follows the emotional journey of a young woman who learns that she was almost aborted, but at the last minute was given up for adoption. Apparently they had a hard time producing the movie. They had to raise the money themselves, which gets back to a point that I've been making for the last 6 months or so as I've been following the political race, is for us Christians, what would be grammatically correct there? We cannot rely on the current crop of politicians, folks. We're going to have to grow our own. Just like the producer here, John Irwin, he couldn't get the money to raise this movie from all the big Hollywood types. So he had to raise it himself, just like we're going to have to do with the next generation of political leaders, if indeed there's any hope at saving this country from teetering and falling into the abyss and a thousand years of darkness for the world. Yeah, we're going to have to raise our own. So for all you homeschoolers out there, I want to encourage you. I know it's not easy, but I want to encourage you to keep at it. Because you are going to be needed. You are going to be called upon by your nation here in the not too distant future. And we're going to need to be ready. What is this curse? So someone called in, but they were afraid to go on the air. Okay. But they said, curse the Broncos by the Jets winning the Super Bowl with Tebow as a quarterback. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. It's kind of obvious that you would hope for that. I think that's probably more likely than the frogs scenario that Daryl came up with. But we appreciate that input from the audience. Now the curse that I'm going to pronounce is it's a poem that I'm writing. It's a poetic curse upon the Broncos. And again, I can only preview it here because I haven't cleared it with Bob. And I don't know, is Bob on the Peyton Manning bandwagon? I don't want to offend. You know, because I'm just sitting in here, and Bob could be all fired up, and he might have already bought a Manning jersey for one of his boys. No, we doubt that happened. All right, so October Baby, they're trying to get release in more theaters. I think I had a message that this movie's going to open in Denver here in the next few days, weeks. Anyway, keep an eye out. What's the website for Personhood? Personhood Colorado on Facebook. If you go there, they're putting up all kinds of events where you can go and gather signatures. And so I've been seeing the events, and I've been out of town. And so that's another reason I'm depressed. I see these events come up, and I'm sitting on the beach in the rain in San Diego, and I can't get signatures. But look for October Baby, because I think that would be a great opportunity to get some signatures outside the theater, since it's a pro-life movie that celebrates the gift of life that our Heavenly Father has given us. And so you probably have a pretty receptive crowd at opening, at showings of October Baby. You'll probably do better there than you will at a Rockies game, although you probably do pretty good at a Rockies game, right? Baseball fans are generally more civilized than, say, football fans, hockey fans, certainly basketball fans. So Rockies games are always good. I'm going to hit a few of those here in the next, when do the Rockies open? Now, that's something, that's probably a date that Daryl has right on the tip of his tongue. Has Daryl left the studio? Okay, I'm depressed again. That doesn't help. I'm going to save the Tim Tebow story. What do we got? Do I care about any of these stories? See, what's happened here is that I've gotten out of touch with the daily pulse of the Personhood movement and Bob Enyart Live and Denver Bible Church. And so I've developed an acute lack of interest in just about everything. And so I looked at the news today and I thought, why am I reading the news? I mean, this is just depressing me. So I opened up Ephesians and I went to the second chapter, and the word of the Lord spoke, and it said, But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, Paul tells us. And God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Unquote. That's quoting the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul. That was the second chapter. I recommend every chapter of the book of Ephesians. And it's a relatively short book for those of you who have a short attention spans. Yeah, I mean, it's not really all that long. And it's quite motivating. Only six chapters in Ephesians. And I recommend each and every one of them very highly, especially if you're feeling down and depressed. Ephesians is a book that you can pick up And you can read through that, and it'll start making you feel a little bit better. Even though it seems that the world has gone insane. An example is Spike Lee and the new Black Panther Party. Yeah, Spike Lee, let's see, I'll read this story from The Smoking Gun, another depressing news site. The mass dissemination of the supposed address of George Zimmerman, who shot young Trayvon Martin there and caused all the uproar. Shot him about a month ago. Well, the mass dissemination of George Zimmerman's supposed address took flight last Friday when movie director Spike Lee retweeted a tweet containing Zimmerman's purported address. So Spike sends this tweet out to his followers on Twitter. Meanwhile, let me take a drink of water. I'm a little dehydrated from the road, you know, because I drink way too much coffee when I drive. I drink a lot of coffee and not enough water. So dehydration affects the vocal cords very acutely. Anyway, Spike Lee tweets this address. The new Black Panther Party has put out a bounty on the head of George Zimmerman. Now, how is it that you can stand up and put a bounty on a man's head and you don't get arrested? How is that? Isn't that advocating either kidnapping or murder? Or have I lost my mind, or has the world gone insane? Okay, I just read from Ephesians, the second chapter, so obviously I am sane. It's the rest of you people who've gone nuts. You stand up and put a bounty on a man's head, and I believe initially the poster said dead or alive. They may have pulled that down. But they're still advocating the capture of a man who's not been tried by a group, the public, that has no authority to capture the man. How is it that this guy, this new Black Panther guy, how is it he's not been arrested for doing this? I can't understand. What country are we living in? How is it that the President of the United States or are there some other political leaders how is it that political leaders who have some influence and hold some sway over all the stupid masses, how is it that they don't stand up and try to calm things down and say, wait a minute, you can't put a bounty on an American citizen's head? Wait a minute. How is it that that has not happened? Again, I cite the possibility that we may be at the beginnings, edges of the strong delusion that's on its way. And so, homeschoolers, churchgoers, Bible thumpers, Bible readers, I want to encourage you to continue in all those things, because you are going to be needed. You are going to be called on in such a time as this, when those who have turned their back on God begin to reap the reward for what they have done. And it's not a curse from God in the sense that he's sprinkling curse dust on people. It's a naturally occurring event that happens when you turn your back on God, ignore right and wrong, avoid the topics that really matter, and soon you become ignorant, and then you become fools. Declaring yourselves wise, you've made yourselves fools. But don't worry. Well, you should worry. But at least we, the Christians who have the answers, we are going to be here for you. We are preparing every single day. One of the main ways is through this radio broadcast, Bob Enyart Live, on the 50,000-watt blowtorch for the gospel, KLTT in Denver, Colorado. But Bob will be back with you tomorrow, Friday, all next week, and I'll be back when I can. Look for me at the Weekly Worldview or search Doug McBurney on iTunes. And remember to do right and risk the consequences.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator, and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.